Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Tonight, Hurricane Milton made landfall in Siesta Key or thereabouts along Florida's west coast. It was about 7:30 tonight. We're getting reports now that there are multiple deaths already reported in St. Lucie County in southeast Florida. The sheriff's office there telling our sister station in West Palm Beach that those deaths likely tied to a tornado outbreak in the area. Tornado been a threat all day long.
Boy, that was the thing as we were watching this last night and then seeing some of it this morning. And we're kind of, be honest with you, we're in kind of a weird spot because on the one hand, this is like, the only news story right now. On the other hand, we don't know anything yet. Not really. I mean, because of it falling so late in the day yesterday, and then, of course, most of that damage being done overnight and first responders very busy out there, I'm sure, rescuing people, clearing roads, cutting and tossing and cleaning debris and moving trees and, making sure that bridges are safe and all the things that they do. We don't know an awful lot just yet, other than we saw during the day before really landfall. We saw that tornado activity yesterday. My goodness, the number of tornadoes yesterday spun off by this thing to the south was just amazing.
Again, this has made its landfall. It did so a little bit earlier than we originally thought, and it brought a bunch of tornadoes to the state. In fact, according to the Storm Prediction Center, at last check, it was 27 confirmed tornadoes. These are some icons showing where some of those tornadoes ended up falling and landing here over the peninsula of Florida, and some of them did extensive damage to some neighborhoods over the peninsula of Florida. So right now...
Yeah, and that was Alan Strum, of course, last night talking about this. And, John... I feel like every time there's a big storm, we try to be accurate and not inflate the worries. And I try to tell you what's going on and, try not to be part of the drama that, some folks in my industry tend to purvey. But I feel like I get you all prepared for what is likely to happen here. The wind is going to die down. It's going to be Category 3 when it makes landfall. The surge is going to be really high. And we didn't talk at all about tornadoes.
No,
we didn't. And then all of a sudden, it seems like the tornadoes turn out to have been, at least so far of what we know, that was the real issue, right?
Right.
Just like, with Helene, we're talking about the surge and the wind and, who thought about there being 30 inches of rain dumped in mountain territory that was going to cause massive flash flooding across a 40-mile stretch of Asheville and North Carolina and eastern Tennessee? Well, we didn't. Nobody saw that one coming. That wasn't on the disaster bingo card, so to speak, and, 200 people being killed. And so in this particular case, the storm surge was bad. It doesn't seem to have been as bad as we were worried, but still very serious. The winds were dying down, which was what we had expected. And then, lo and behold, hey, there's a tornado, there's a tornado, there's a tornado. The top of Tropicana Field gets ripped off. This structure in St. Lucie that the sheriff's office had parked their emergency vehicles in got destroyed.
The 10,000 square foot red iron structure that was housing all of our high water rescue vehicles and our brandy vehicles was hit by a tornado in 50 yards away from where we were, and it completely wiped it out. We were outside pulling out as much high water rescue vehicles as we can out of that complete devastation. I'm talking about tens of millions of dollars worth of damage.
So that was the sheriff in St. Lucie explaining that the place they had put all their stuff to rescue everybody else, they were now having to claw that stuff out from underneath all of the destroyed and crippled metal, Just.
Did you see the picture of it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Just wanted to verify.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's, God reached down and took their giant structure and just said, it looked like aluminum foil that you'd crumpled up after you used it to top your lasagna and you got it out of the oven. I mean, that's what it looked like, So Man, and then, of course, you know, where is the storm now as of this morning?
As well, we are going to see this move off the shoreline by 8 a.m. this morning, if not before in some spots. So we'll take a look at the track, and we're looking at still some very heavy rainfall right now. Winds gusting up to 80, 90 miles per hour in some spots. But let's take a look at what happened overnight, because we saw winds gusting over 100 miles per hour in some spots. Look at Sarasota, 102 mile per hour wind gust. St. Petersburg, 101. Tampa, 97. And a whole lot of rain as well. We're still seeing that heavy rain falling, anywhere from 10, nearly 20 inches of rain. And we're going to add to that even up to 5 inches in some spots as we go throughout the morning before Milton completely moves offshore. This is the latest. We're looking at 85 mile per hour winds, still a Category 1 storm. It's about 30 miles east-southeast of Orlando, Florida, and it's moving quickly. That is the good news. It picked up speed yesterday, and it continues to be moving quickly. So it will be out of here later on this morning, moving to the northeast at 16 miles per hour. Notice that heavy rainfall.
And that was Joanna Grossman on NBC. That was about an hour ago. And if you look on the map, you can see that it's now actually crossed over into the Atlantic, the IAS, basically taking an east by northeast track from Sarasota up towards, you know, I don't know my geography in Florida well enough. Titusville, Merritt Island is where it exited, it looks like, just south of Daytona. But massive rainfall to the north there. In fact, Jacksonville, Daytona, that whole stretch of northeastern Florida, the whole Palm Coast area is just getting large amounts of rain. And actually, that's, remember we talked about this, that there was all this storm surge worry on the front side, on the Gulf side, where you were talking about 9 to 13 feet at the center and, you know, spanning out from there. And then I said, but there's also a surge warning on the northeastern side, because as it goes through the state and as the winds come around the top, you know, going counterclockwise, pushing surf in, then you're talking maybe 3 to 5 feet of surge up around Jacksonville. And sure enough, that's what we appear to have gotten, along with a lot of rain. In fact, it was such a weird storm to kind of watch happen, because if you think of where the storm cut across there, like, is that, that's still a little bit south of I-4 though, right? That's where it came through. I mean, I-4 is roughly right there, but it's a little south.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. To the north of the storm track was all heavy rain. Like, if you watched on the radar, it was all the storm was covering all of northern Florida, and the south was basically clear, but not no wind, just no rain. And so you had all these tornadoes. So the northern half, basically, of the state, well east of Tallahassee, was getting all this rain. The southern half of the state was getting, of the peninsula, was getting all of this, you know, wind and the tornadoes, which I am sure the tornadoes are going to have killed people. We know already at least two. But so that's where we stand this morning as we're waiting for, you know, light, basically, and first responders to get out there and, you know, all of the different teams to start doing their reporting in to really know how bad this has been overnight. Weird little small fact. Pensacola, of course, Escambia County opened up the Bay Center for anybody who was fleeing the storm. And did you happen to see how many people were at the Bay Center?
No, I did not.
I called Eric Gilmore about this yesterday and just asked him, because I was curious. You know, I didn't know, and I wasn't going to go down there just to personally look at it. And he called me back, or he texted me back. He's like, 7. So not many.
No.
You know, but and I know. First response to that is to think, well, that seems like an awful lot of resource for 7 people. Don't they have hotels? Don't they have Airbnb? You know, there's lots of, okay, agreed. But it's kind of like when you cancel school because the winds are expected to reach, you know, tropical storm force. You want to be prepared in case. And so what they did is they made it available in case it was 400. Because we didn't know how far west are these people going to want to come to get out of the path of the storm. And, you know, are they all going to shelter in Tallahassee and Valdosta? Or are they going to come to, you know, Pensacola? We have a resource. This is what it's here for. Let's make it available. If we get 500 people, okay. If we get 7 people, okay. 518 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hey, Northwest Florida, Dave Ramsey here. I want to tell you about my friends over at Gulf Coast Air Care. Owner Todd St. Ors and his team focus on the indoor air quality side of HVAC for the people who want comfortable, healthy, and energy-efficient homes and workplaces. Gulf Coast Air Care can help you with dusty, moldy, or leaky duct systems, hot or cold rooms, and odors and humidity issues. So, if you need duct cleaning, duct repair, repairs or air filtration, you should call Gulf Coast Air Care today at 850-934-2768. They've been trusted members of the community for over 30 years. And remember what Todd always says, if you don't have a good air filter, you are one. Call Gulf Coast Air Care today at 850-934-2768 or visit them online at gulfcoastaircare.com. And be sure and tell them that Dave Ramsey sent you.
The Pensacola housing real estate market has been crazy for the past few years.
How do you know when to buy or sell?
You'll need an expert to help you. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9 a.m. right after Pensacola Morning News to hear real estate expert Christina Leavenworth with Leavenworth Realty discuss current real estate conditions. That's today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
As a mom, comforting my family is what I do best. Vicks VapoStick provides soothing, non-medicated Vicks Vapors in an easy-to-apply stick. And it dries fast, so there's no mess. I use it to comfort myself and my family.
Thanks, Mom.
Vicks VapoStick. Soothing comfort for the whole family. And when you need more comfort for yourself, try Vicks VapoShower Max for steamy Vicks Vapors.
Use as directed. VapoStick for use ages 4 and up. VapoShower Max use for adults only.
Hey, can you blow up some balloons for Jack's party?
I can't. I'm so congested.
You need Sinex Saline from Vicks.
Sinex Saline Nasal Spray?
Yeah, just Sinex. Breathe.
Sinex Saline instantly clears everyday congestion associated with colds and year-round allergies with a gentle, ultra-fine mist that's no mess and easy to control.
Daddy, we need more balloons!
On it!
Enjoy life's important moments without congestion. Try Sinex Saline from Vicks. Just Sinex. Breathe. Use as directed.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I've fallen, and I can't get up.
We just got hold on, and on and on and on. 'Cause we're gonna be late.
Morning, 521 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. We're just seeing some video footage from Tropicana Field where the roof doesn't exist. And obviously that means loads of debris in on the field, as you can see, you know, and basically the structure, think of like an umbrella that's been through a hurricane where the metal pieces are there and little bits of fabric are still attached to the frame, but everything else is gone. That's kind of what we're seeing as we look at Tropicana Field this morning. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, and speaking of Tropicana Field, that was also being used for line workers. I believe they were housing line workers at Tropicana Field. Mm. So, yeah, amazing the damage there. Former President Trump says there won't be a second debate between him and Kamala Harris. Trump said on Truth Social yesterday that it was, quote, very late in the process with voting already beginning. And so he said there will not be a rematch. Amazon expanding its national pharmacy network next year. The retail giant said Wednesday that it's using its vast logistics network to improve access to affordable medications. And by the end of next year, nearly half of Amazon customers would be eligible for same-day delivery of prescriptions. And scientists saying robots can keep toddlers active. Researchers at Oregon State University put toddlers in a room with a robot that they said looks like a Roomba vacuum. Apparently this robot is able to throw balls and blow bubbles and keep babies busy. Where do I get one of these things? That's the real question.
It seems like the perfect level of entertainment for all of us.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's the visual equivalent of ASMR, right? It's
well, just... I mean, I'd like to see what it could do with the baby, but also I think the dogs would be entertaining around this thing too.
Yeah, that's right. David, thanks so much for the update. 523 here on News Radio 92.3. We do have, by the way, there's going to be a press conference this morning at 7:30 our time for Governor DeSantis. That's what we're, you know, that's when we'll probably start to actually get a better comprehensive report of whatever damage they at this point anyway know about. But yesterday, the governor had some, you know, sort of strong words as is very understandable, for people who might try to take advantage of the storm to loot, rob, steal, right?
This is not going to be an opportunity for folks to take advantage of people. If you think you're going to go in and loot, you got another thing coming. You go into somebody's house after the storm passes, think that you're going to be able to commit crimes. You're going to get in really serious trouble. And quite frankly, you don't know what's behind that door in a Second Amendment state.
You know, it's a very interesting way to put it. You don't know what you might be expecting behind that door in a Second Amendment state. The one thing, though, and maybe it's just because we've talked about this so many times with our law enforcement officers. Obviously, here, we had no effects from this storm, so this is not, like, instruction to you. Except that if we do ever get a storm, and we've had before, and we will again because this is where we live, it is important that you know the law, because I want to make sure that you don't wind up in jail for something where you weren't clear about what the law is. And, you know, it's one thing to put up a sign that says, you loot, we shoot, you know, that kind of stuff. Sounds stern. You'll go to jail for that. It's a very simple standard. If your life or your limb are in danger, if your body is in danger, your person is in danger of being seriously hurt or killed, or someone else's life or limb is in danger of being seriously injured or killed, you are justified in using less than making that threat. You are not justified in using that level of force against somebody who is only threatening to steal property. So if you're, let's say, inside your home at night and somebody comes in and you shoot them, you're probably going to be fine because you don't know what their intentions are. But if you're, say, I don't know, in your yard and you see somebody else coming in the back door and there's nobody inside, okay, and you shoot them, especially if you shoot them in the back, you're going to jail for homicide because you didn't have a reasonable expectation that your own life and limb were in danger. And that's, I get why the governor says this. He needs to sound tough. He wants to scare people, and he wants to remind them that in a Second Amendment state, he's not saying it's okay to shoot people when they loot. Okay, he's saying you take your life in your own hands when you're in a Second Amendment state full of guns going into a place. But I am less interested in protecting the looters or giving them guidance and more interested in, I want to make sure that you don't have a false understanding of what the law allows. So it is genuinely very simple. You can't shoot people for stealing stuff unless you can make the case to the sheriff that you were reasonably afraid that they were going to harm you or somebody else. Because if they're going to harm you, or you don't know, or there's a reasonable threat, absolutely, you're allowed to shoot them. If they're only stealing stuff, as evil and horrible and disgusting as looting is, it's not a capital offense. And it doesn't become a capital offense because you're the one there to enforce it instead of the cops. So just, you know, always keep that in mind. In these circumstances, again, the signs you put out in your yard are allowed and legal, even if they threaten an illegal thing, and threatening to shoot a looter just for looting is, in fact, an illegal act. Not the threat, but, you know, actually doing it would be.
Do not try to take advantage of people who are suffering because of the results of this storm. That goes for Helene continually, but then, of course, that will be the case for Milton. I know we've already brought a lot of people, held people accountable in post-Helene, and we will be very swift across all levels of government to throw the book at people. And, of course, when you make these bad decisions, you're opening yourself up to response from property owners who may be inside that house.
Which is true. But, again, I want to more interested in making sure that you as the property owner are informed and aware and make wise decisions. Now, we do have a couple of actually good news notes came across yesterday. The first one had to do with our sister station, Cat Country 98.7, Mel and Jordan and Brent doing the morning show. But, of course, the whole station with Kevin and everybody who works over there. And, you know, we all work together on a lot of stuff, and our news department works over there as well. But they had a bit of an announcement yesterday.
Cat Country, good morning.
Good morning. Hi, this is John and TJ Osborne from the country music duo Brothers Osborne.
TJ and Joe, baby!
We know you guys.
Hello.
Hi, guys. We wanted to call you to tell you congratulations. WYCT, you are the CMA Broadcast Award winner for Small Market Station of the Year.
I love them squealing, by the way. So
my
fun.
My heart's racing out of my chest.
I almost passed out when I screamed.
So are ours.
Dude, you guys!
Thank you!
Feels good, don't it?
Oh, man!
Brent and Mel know how to, be excited. There's a second news note that happened later in the evening yesterday. The National Association of Broadcasters was having their annual Marconi Awards. That's the big awards, kind of like the Oscars for radio. They were in New York City, and we had been in a finalist of the last five stations nominated for Station of the Year for the Marconi Award, an award that we had never won before. And this is against all stations across the entire country for what they decide is a medium market. It's kind of funny because Cat Country, though they're in both Mobile and here, they're considered small market. We are only in Pensacola, and they considered us medium market. Go figure. I don't know how to make sense of any of that, but that just is the way it is. In any case, that's for CMAs versus Marconi. So the National Association of Broadcasters, we were finalists for Station of the Year, and we won. And we don't have any audio of that.
Congratulations. I just want to say congratulations.
Thank you. So this is not just for, like, you know, news station. This is all formats. So rap and country and rock and news and talk. And we got that award. We've never gotten that award before in our history of, 17 years? I think we've been in the air now. 17 years. News Radio Total has been in the air. I've been here for 10 years. So we've been finalists a couple of times. We've been finalists for, personality. I've been finalist for Personality of the Year. But that's the first Marconi for Station of the Year that we've ever won. So thank you guys for participating and supporting us. We appreciate it.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. Hurricane Milton making landfall near Sarasota overnight as a Category 3 storm before weakening to a Cat 1 and marching across the peninsula.
We've had wind gusts over 100 miles an hour on Sarasota, St. Petersburg, and then down in Venice, the wind peaked at 109 miles an hour.
That's Fox Weather's Mike Seidel in Madeira Beach near St. Petersburg. Now, the story of this storm could end up being the tornadoes that spawned even before the hurricane arrived. St. Lucie County Sheriff Keith Pearson.
So there's hundreds of houses that are just destroyed. Anything that was in the path of these multiple tornadoes, our deputies are on the scene. We were out. I was in a patrol car.
The roof of the Tropicana Field in St. Pete blown off. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne right now. It is partly cloudy and 68 degrees in Pensacola. Well, in Tampa Bay, they'll be getting a look once the sun comes up at the damage that Hurricane Milton left behind after making landfall last night as a Category 3 storm. Brian Stern is the founder of Gray Bull Rescue. He said the storm brought immense damage to
his
area.
Last night was rough. It was definitely wet. It was definitely wet. It was definitely windy. As we know, the roof on the Trop got ripped off, and a lot of streets are flooded.
And likely see a lot of water damage. The storm did dump over a foot of rain in parts of Central Florida last night. A lot of neighborhoods flooded. The wind was so strong, of course, as you heard there. The part of the roof at the Tropicana Field Stadium in St. Petersburg was ripped off, the fabric roof. Also in St. Pete, a construction crane crashed into a building downtown. No injuries were reported there. And as Andrew mentioned earlier, Governor DeSantis will be speaking at 7:30 this morning, where we'll probably get a better look at some of that. And one of the biggest issues after the hurricane last night, restoring power, of course. At one point, there were about 3 million outages reported across the state. The Gulf Coast, of course, has the most power outages. Hillsborough County has about 500,000 right now. One person is in the hospital after a house fire on Michael Drive in Pensacola last night. That fire was reported shortly after 5 p.m. yesterday. One victim was taken to the hospital, and there's no current condition. No current update on their condition. Escambia Fire Rescue says the fire at that home started because of an issue in the dryer. An inmate at the Escambia County Jail is accused of violently attacking her cellmate and biting off a portion of her eyebrow. And that happened last Friday. Officials say 27-year-old Asia Harvey had been cellmates with another woman for several days when she began acting irrationally. Harvey reportedly threw toilet water on the woman, pulled her hair, assaulted her, and then bit her arm and face and apparently bit off a chunk of her eyebrow. Correctional officers did separate the women. Harvey now faces aggravated battery charges for the attack. A teen girl charged with making a school threat in Escambia County this week. Deputies say they received a tip about the threat, which was made on Snapchat against the Success Academy on Weimert Road. The girl was arrested and now faces a charge of making a threat to harm. She'll also face disciplinary action from the Escambia School District. 534 at News Radio 92.3.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to be seeing plenty of sunshine today, a little bit on the cooler side for the morning. 65 degrees waking up, 85 degrees for your high. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 62. Keeping the sunshine around on that Friday, high near 82 degrees. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 58 degrees. On Saturday, temperatures warming up near 78 degrees with a low near 61. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now we've got 67 degrees in Pensacola, 65 in Gulf Breeze, 65 in Milton. Our next news at 6 o'clock, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, and dependable. And now our market report.
Murray with your money now. Investors are looking ahead this morning to fresh consumer price index data to get a handle on the current course for inflation. Economists polled by Dow Jones anticipate a 0.1% monthly increase and a 2.3% surge over the last 12 months. The report drops at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time. Treasury yields were mixed this morning as investors continue to digest meeting minutes from the Federal Reserve and await fresh inflation data. The 10-year Treasury yield was almost a basis point higher at 4.072%. Amazon is testing added automated mini warehouses to Whole Foods supermarkets. The new store format allows shoppers to buy products from its online store and mass market supermarket chain while they browse Whole Foods and then can pick them up at checkout. Futures are slightly higher ahead of inflation data this morning. Wednesday, the Dow Industrials gained 126. That's your money now.
Hootie Inc. is the Gulf Coast leader in personality DJ entertainment. If you're planning a wedding, why not use the best entertainment for less? Their personality DJs perform over 100 weddings each year. They'll make your wedding reception one you and your guests will remember for many years to come. Call Boogie Inc. at 850-438-1660. Or go to BoogieInc.com. Boogie Inc. is the Gulf Coast leader in personality DJ entertainment. Remember, wherever Boogie goes, a party's bound to follow.
Teachers shape the future. Right now, in a classroom somewhere in the United States, there's a teacher inspiring a future scientist who'll make preventing pandemics their life's work. Sharpening the mind of an aspiring environmentalist who'll help combat climate change. And generating possibilities for a student who'll be the first in their family to graduate college. Explore a career that leaves a legacy you can be proud of. Teach. Learn more and receive free support at teach.org.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in this Monday morning at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
When hurricanes are brewing and heading to the Gulf, tune in to News Radio Pensacola for complete storm coverage you can count on. We have direct reports from the Emergency Management Center and from the National Hurricane Center to give you the latest on the storm's path, strength, and impacts. Stay informed and stay safe with comprehensive hurricane coverage heard on News Radio Pensacola. Now on 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, and on our News Radio Pensacola mobile app.
Burn.
Good morning, 538 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Yesterday, we had a chance to talk to the mayor of Pensacola, Mayor D.C. Reeves. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm doing great. We're obviously watching Milton, now downgraded to just barely a Category 4, but we're still expecting a massive storm to hit Central Florida. You know, the oddest thing just caught my attention. Somebody sent this to me, but I had seen it before and forgotten. Have you seen the picture of the barges in Tampa that are all, like, chained up, secured to the floor of the water? Like, that's their solution for all these construction barges? You got any feelings about that?
Yeah, I did a meme check first just to make sure somebody wasn't messing with us up here. I have seen that. Hopefully it works. I did see that there was some land on the other side. I mean, I don't know how calm the water is at its end, but I don't know how calm it's going to be either. But yeah, definitely give me some PTSD.
He's the same. I'm like, oh, no. So I hope it works better for them than whatever we didn't do didn't work for us. Do we have, I know PPD and Pensacola Fire both had been prepared to deploy people. Do we have anybody deployed or waiting to deploy at this point?
Yeah, I think we've got some of our awesome officers have raised their hand and stepped up. I think it's about 8 to 10 of our PPD officers are going to be in the first wave of a collection of about 80 first responders officers in the panhandle that are going to be going down to the base camp in Tampa, set up by FDLE. And I believe our guys are going to be going to Bradenton Beach and Hamilton Beach and then coming back to that base camp in Tampa. So, you're talking about 7 to 10 days, raise your hand and say, I'll go do it.
Yeah.
Put yourself in that situation if that's something that you'd want to do. So, I'm very, very grateful. We say, these are our heroes and our protectors. And here we are, not even in our own city. We've got our guys going out and, stepping up when our state needs it. And,
absolutely.
And so very, very appreciative of our guys, and doesn't surprise me bringing trailers of mowers and all sorts of other equipment to help get debris cleared out and keep people safe. Very appreciative of our guys.
Yeah. And if you didn't bring it, you can't just go to the store to get it. That's, you got to really plan ahead for this kind of stuff, which is a different kind of experience, I'm sure, for those folks. Let's talk about some things closer here to home. First one is, I think it's a big deal for the county. It's also, I assume, kind of a big deal for the city because county government has now changed. You have the District 4 seat appointed Ashley Hoffberger a month before the election. We know there's going to be another change in seat coming in a month with, Steven Stroberger. I don't know why we have Stroberger and Hoffberger. It's making me unhappy. But we may have a third seat with Stephen Berry. Who knows how that one's going to turn out. But your thoughts about the appointment of Ashley a month before the election and just in general how this might change, because District 4 is a big part of the city, right?
Well, what I would say, my focus primarily is to get leadership in District 4, period. I've shared that with the appointments office over months of time, that at the end of the day, that's significant representation for our city in county government, that seat, period. So, I think Ashley's going to do a great job. I certainly support getting someone in there now and being able to be able to get start getting things done. If you're a citizen of District 4, yes, you're a city resident. Many of them, not all, are city residents. I would be frustrated to not be able to have that voice and whatever the issue may be. And we forget oftentimes, we look at city and county as different. The city is in the county. So the representation of those five county commissioners and having the city represented equitably is important. So it's long overdue. And I'm certainly, whatever the decision of the governor is, I'm certainly in support of to be able to get somebody in there now, and let's start making some decisions that represent the city.
No, I completely agree. Basically the beach on the north side of 4 are out, but most of the rest of it is the city of Pensacola. Do you happen to, because, look, I know this affects you, and, you talked to the governor, and, I think a lot of us were surprised that the appointment didn't come right after the primary, but did come before the election. I kind of figured that at this point it wouldn't happen until then. Do you have any knowledge of why or what the process was? Were you involved in this at all? We're all trying to kind of understand it, and I figured, there's a chance you might, and I didn't know if you knew anything.
No, obviously what I did is I stated our case and different points we talked about. Certainly, I was advocating, at the time for Councilman Moore because of the great job that he does at city council. But Ashley's going to do a great job. Okay. I know she is. And you know, we're similar in that we're, you know, small business owners, entrepreneurial type mindset. So, you know, why not? You know, instead of why not, it's how can we? And I like that. And, you know, she's doing it for the right reason. We're not the same way. I'm not trying to, you know, I don't know that I'm going to spend 50 years in politics. I'm doing this because I love the city, and I know she's doing it for the same reason. So I'm glad to have her, and I'm glad for us to have leadership in there. But in terms of how we got here, you know, I call up to Tallahassee and state my case, and you know, of course, that decision rests in Tallahassee. So, but you know, we are where our feet are, and we'll move ahead with leadership in four.
Another big thing has taken place. Maybe not quite since we last talked, but it's recent enough. Tim Kinsel is on the job. You know, able to have a little bit of breathing space doing your job duties back to being just the mayor?
Yeah, it's been great. And as you'd imagine, I mean, even the orientation before his first day was being in phone calls about Helene, potentially.
Yeah.
You know, you can imagine having his experience and steady hand in the room. When he's been through so much and so much experience just at NAS Pensacola, much less NATO or the White House or everywhere else.
Right.
So it's been great to have him. You know, I know he's, you know, sopping up everything like a sponge right now and listening in a lot of meetings and you know, getting caught up. But yes, I'm very, very, as I say in the building, I'm very much looking forward to firing myself from some of these, you know, initiatives, you know, things that we have going. Let him do it. And let me go be the mayor too, you know, which is not only engaging our community, it's engaging our employees, you know, being able to go down to a floor and say hello and not be just in the grind all the time.
Right.
And we've been successful and productive because of that. But, you know, having that extra set of hands and with that level of experience is going to be huge for us. So certainly excited to have Tim.
It's also fun sometimes to discover that even though you thought you had to do it all, it is possible for somebody else to do an awful lot of it, and then you can breathe, which is
That's
nice.
Right.
I wanted to ask you about Bruce Beach. We didn't get a chance to talk about that last week, but I thought your comments yesterday were very interesting because my picture of maybe it's just the name, calling it Bruce Beach and its sandy interface with water, it seems like the kind of place that the goal is to let people be able to swim there. You know, there used to be a pool and all of that. But there's been this conversation about whether it's safe to get in the water there. Of course, recently they tested positive for human fecal bacteria or whatever. And, you know, you guys are trying to figure out where that's all coming from. Is it or isn't it supposed to eventually be a swimming beach?
Well, I think in an ideal scenario, obviously where there's, you know, sand, I don't think anybody would say, oh, we want to design it where nobody would go in the water. But
right.
I think what was important for context, and you know, this is not new because of the latest tests, and there's lots of myths out there. Yes, there has been some consistency of water quality issue over years of time. And actually, in our bay, you know, Sanders Beach here, I mean, there's been water quality inconsistencies, and that's, I mean, go look at Bayou Chico. You know, I mean, we've had these issues kind of holistically in the bay. But understand, this is not, you know, there's a theory out there that this has been happening every week, every test the entire time. That is not the case. We were testing it a year ago. It was fine. You know, and so this is a new independent issue that's part of a larger generational issue. But
right.
But this is not that it's been every test has failed for the last X number of years. That's not actually true. So, you know, we went further testing. Sometimes it'll test, but you don't know if it's aviary. You don't know if it's human bacteria. We took an extra step proactively to get a genetic test with UWF, realized that it was human bacteria. And so now what we're basically doing is working with ECUA and DEP to move up the stormwater pipe. There shouldn't be human bacteria coming out of a stormwater pipe. This is not a sewer main. This is a stormwater pipe. So, you know, that begs the question, well, then how is it getting into our stormwater system? And so is it a cross connection? Is it a broken sewer line on private property, which is a whole other conversation? And, you know, how is it getting in there? And so we're working upstream and our team, all three of those teams were doing that late last week, basically popping manholes, going up and seeing, testing right there, and then seeing, you know, where you can close it in. And this process is what took place a year and a half, 2 years ago, when you may recall, we found the break at Garden and
right,
Spring,
right, I do, yeah,
that right there at that intersection that got fixed. Same concept here is that we're just kind of that's what they did then. It was kind of moving upstream and trying to, you know, isolate where this might be entering and then figure out the cause for it.
Okay.
So So our teams are working together. But the point was, we were supposed to open Bruce Beach Phase 2 on Saturday.
Right.
And I didn't feel good about opening Phase 2 without turning our bandwidth to solve. I'm not saying we'll solve it in the next few weeks, but I wanted to make sure we had priority focus on getting this fixed before we were cutting ribbons.
And opening the land side.
So we'll cut ribbon soon.
Yeah, opening the land side with warnings not to swim or concerns about water quality is one thing. But, yeah, if it could get fixed, I mean, great, you know, if we could figure that out, sure.
Exactly.
Did I hear you say, just pardon, it's a little bit off, but the Balin slip, that is closed right now? Am I right about that? The little public area,
no.
Access area back in there? Is that, I thought I heard that, and maybe I'm wrong.
No, not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
No, that should be open.
Okay, it just suddenly jumped into my brain. I thought I heard it like in a Pensacola City Council meeting or something like that. I did want to ask you about the camping ordinance. Of course, you and I have talked quite a bit about this. I thought Jen Brer raised some, you know, fair, like, here's what the ordinance says now about RVs. Here's what could be true if this current one goes in, the proposed one. Here's what's true about, you know, camping with permission, but you have to have access to the bathroom versus... I assume you guys have already been working on those questions to get clarity about what layer of the law would be enforced. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. What we all want is a finished product that is seamless. But we also, you know, what I do is I rely on the expertise of our city attorney's office. And so when those questions come up, whether it's a council person or a citizen, is, you know, I know what I am and I know what I'm not. And I'm not an attorney. So, you know, I can know what the outcome might be. And so as Councilman Brayer has and other council members have reached out, that's their city attorney's office too. And they've already been, prior to Monday afternoon, been in conversation back and forth. I wanted to land somewhere that makes sense for us to be able to enforce and adheres to House Bill 1365. The nuance of that, whether we, for example, refer to the state statute and then that causes people not to be able to camp in an RV, there's lots of what ifs in that. And also understand, like we talked about last week, is there's very clear language in there that allows our law enforcement and code enforcement officials to determine whether this is a temporary shelter,
right,
or it's someone sleeping in an RV in their driveway one night. I mean, and so, you know, these conversations only really confuse the citizens to make it seem as if here's this crazy scenario. Well, there's lots of crazy scenarios we could come up with the current ordinances that are on the books right now, you know, that would not adhere or not fit, just because it's hard to fit every situation. But I know Councilwoman Brayer has been in contact with several in our city attorney's office, so has others, and I maintain the same thing. I'm good with wherever our city attorney, our expert, lands on making sure that code, you know, it makes sense for code, makes sense for PPD, and certainly makes sense for the law. That's what I'm looking for. So whatever iteration that is what I support, and that's why you have two reads. That's exactly
right,
why.
Yeah, questions come up, and you maybe have to adapt.
Have this,
right?
Conversation. Exactly. We could pass a first read and not pass a second read, and give that homework and kind of give that see if we can pass
or
that
tweak
test.
Or adapt.
So
it
looking
too,
forward to the conversation Thursday. And we'll see what happens.
FSU Auburn, pretty big game Saturday. Sold out like in an hour, I think. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, very excited for that. I was one of those things that I said, if I was to become mayor one day, we finally have to get FSU to come play over here. And and you know, interestingly enough, 2 years ago they had a very rough year, and that was when we were kind of establishing it. And I was texting with Link Jarrett, the coach, and you know, man, we'd love to get you over here for a midweek game or something. And then, you know, that starts to gain some steam, and it was like buying stock. You know, last year, FSU gets all the way to the College World Series, I had a shot to win the national title, and then now we've got them coming here in October. So you know, their success and fate has it additionally worked out in our favor. It would have been great to have them anytime, but it's even
especially
better
now,
right?
Yeah.
Now because of how good a year they had and how much promise they have. And you know, again, sold out, not a standing room ticket available, nothing but citizens that want to, you know, residents, visitors, that want to engage, 9 a.m., there's a tailgate and a big screen and food and drink and stuff out front, free of charge, don't need a ticket. You can just come if you want to kind of be in the atmosphere, like you're tailgating at a football game, you can do that.
You said free beer and brats outside at the game from 9 to noon? Is that what you said?
No, that's just for media, for radio media. Sorry, that's not for everybody.
That's perfect. Unfortunately, we are completely out of time, even for our – well, I'll give you one quick frivolous lightning round.
All right, please.
When you send a text with a misspelling in it, do you send a correction text with an asterisk?
I heard this earlier. You know I was a journalist, so I, yes.
Oh,
I have to. I can't
with the edit history
that I don't know how to spell. Yeah.
And is there a word? Is there a word that DC misspells in a text most often?
Well, remember, I told you, you know, Zaragoza is my number one because no matter how you spell, you always get it wrong.
Oh, yeah. There is no correct spelling for Zaragoza is what I've learned, so.
So it's always right, maybe. Maybe
that's, you can look at it either way. That's right. Mayor D.C. Reeves, look forward to the city council meeting tomorrow night. Thank you, as always, for the time. Probably see you at the game on Saturday, and we'll talk to you again next week. Thank you, sir.
All right, Andrew. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. By the way, the meeting is tonight. Of course, this was an interview we did yesterday. And then that game on Saturday, in case anybody was uncertain, is baseball. FSU and Auburn baseball at Wahoo Stadium. I had one person say, they're playing football at Wahoo Stadium. Like, no. You want to own it, John?
You know, I didn't know. I knew FSU was having a bad season, but I didn't think that they were going
they had
down.
They fallen to the point where they're playing football in Pensacola.
To sell out, you know.
That's funny. 555 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're in the market for a good vehicle, Frontier Motors specializes in cars you can trust. Use cars that are, you know, 1 to 4, maybe years old, 10 to maybe 50 or 60,000 miles, that kind of vicinity. And then they stand by them. They warranty them to 100,000 miles. And to me, like, you know, I bought used cars from people. And there's always a bit of a, man, let's hope, you know, with the used car, like, let's hope they didn't slide something past me. It's why I always recommend, if you're buying from an individual, get a good vehicle inspection from a mechanic that you trust, because that's great. You know, Carfax is a start, but a used vehicle inspection is well worth the, I don't even know what they run these days, maybe $100, $150, but it's well worth it. But if you buy from Frontier, you don't have to because you know. They're going to stand by it. They've been there for more than 25 years. Their cars are reliable and good, and then you can drive them for another 10 or 15 years like we do and put 200,000 or 300,000 miles on them and then trade them in for another one that's just a couple of years young, which is kind of how our way of doing things, the Dave Ramsey way of doing used cars. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway, be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
For some of us, it's way more than just hunting. Hunting is one of the best things in life, and Jim's Firearms is proud to be a part of it. Let the team at Jim's Firearms help you prepare for a successful hunting season. With a large selection of shotguns and rifles, you're sure to find one to meet your shooting needs. Jim's Firearms, West Pensacola, corner of Blue Angel and Sorrento Road.
When hurricanes are brewing and heading to the Gulf, tune in to News Radio Pensacola for complete storm coverage you can count on. We have direct reports from the Emergency Management Center and from the National Hurricane Center to give you the latest on the storm's path, strength, and impacts. Stay informed and stay safe with comprehensive hurricane coverage heard on News Radio Pensacola. Now on 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, and on our News Radio Pensacola mobile app.
New South Window lives southern weather, and our products are designed to keep the intense heat out and the cool air in. We prioritize keeping your family and your home comfortable all year round. That's why our energy-efficient windows and doors are made, installed, and guaranteed for life.
For a limited time only, save 35% off on New South Windows and Doors. Visit newsouthwindow.com/radio to learn more.
I'm Robert Bender, your supervisor of elections. The general election is underway, and now is the time to make sure you have a say in this election. Election Day is November 5th, and there are three ways you can vote. One, you can request a vote by mail ballot and return it by mail or leave it in a secure ballot intake station at any early voting site. Two, you can vote early at any one of our 10 area early voting sites from October 21st through November 2nd. And three, you can vote at your polling place on Election Day. Whatever you decide, just get out your vote.
For more information, visit escambiavotes.gov or call 850-595-3900.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Sundays, you get Christian Outlook at 7, Ask the Preacher at 8, Town Hall Review, Fox News Sundays, The Weekend, Tech It Out, and Gun Talk at 8.
Deterrence is the art of producing in the mind of the enemy the fear to attack.
I need need to watch Dr. Strangelove again. It's been a couple of years. It is such a great movie. 5:58 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. You hear a Dr. Strangelove clip every week. Actually every day. You can't fight in here. This is the war room. Right? That's from the frivolous stager. 5:58, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The Justice Department may ask a judge to break up Google's search engine from other parts of its company. Federal prosecutors are accusing the tech giant of holding an illegal monopoly over online searches.
This is always a fascinating one to me because on the one hand, yes, they clearly are, but on the other hand, it's what consumers want.
Absolutely.
We keep picking them because it's so comprehensive.
Best search engine.
Right.
Former President Trump planning to hold a rally at Madison Square Garden. That reportedly is going to happen October 27th, just 9 days from Election Day.
Also, I forget when the date was, but he's going to go do a rally in Coachella in California, which you cannot win California.
Right.
But the theory is if you have enough Hispanics there, then that shows the Hispanic community across
the U.S. Dependable traffic on the fives, weekdays.